Welcome to Reimagined, a podcast exploring the future of learning from Africa's innovation hub, Nairobi, Kenya. Whether you're a curriculum developer, teacher, funder, edtech guru, or just passionate about the power of education, join us as we learn alongside Kenya's most innovative leaders. I'm Tennille, and today we are learning from Janet Mwitiki, who is a childcare specialist and child protection advocate. Janet has worked in early childhood development for more than 20 years and is so passionate about ensuring the safety and protection of children. As a founding member of Kidogo, which means small in Kiswahili, Janet has developed child protection policies and curriculum. She also empowers women in informal settlements with the skills and the knowledge they need to open their own childcare centers. These are just a few of the reasons that I personally always feel so honored and excited to listen and learn from Janet. Thanks so much for being here, Janet. And I've just used the word child protection quite a few times. So since you're the expert, I'd love to know, what is the definition of child protection? What does it mean to you?
Safeguarding the rights of the children. Making that our sure that our children are safe, mm-hmm. their rights have been protected, and we are not breaching their rights. So anytime we are aware that children have rights, and we as adults, we should be able to help them understand what their mm-hmm. rights are, okay. and we are also able to help safeguard their rights, put systems in place, how we can be able to make sure that they are safe or out of any form of abuse or violence. Mm-hmm. Then that's all what I would term as a child protection.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say is that it's not only about the actual safety of that child, but the general well-being, as well as the child's knowledge of what their rights are.
Definitely, because I think it would be very important for us not to assume that children wouldn't love to know whether they have the rights, because sometimes they are also confused about responsibilities and abuse. So anytime I'm talking about child abuse, I ask people, how do you think the children will feel when we tell them that they have their rights and empower them to know this is my right and I have a right to get the best from this? So empowering the children as early as possible to know and be able to differentiate, like, what is a right and what is a responsibility. Because I have seen there has been a lot of confusion. Like, sometimes children are taking some roles, they are helping their parents, they are helping their teachers in their schools, and then people say, oh, you are abusing this child. So at what level do we say this is a responsibility and this is an abuse?
So I think that's a really interesting point. Okay, so the difference between a right and a responsibility, because I can imagine, so from my understanding, most of the children you work with are in informal settlements,
yep.
which oftentimes the kids growing up in informal settlements have a lot of responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And under, how do you teach a child what's the difference between a right and a responsibility?
Basically, the children we are working with, especially the below five or yeah. that age, they may not be able to know the difference. So here there comes the responsibility of the caregiver or mm-hmm. the adult,
mm-hmm.
whom we explain when it, to him or to her when it becomes an abuse. If it's mm-hmm. a responsibility, it's just kind of introducing the child to the normal house chores that is supposed to be helping either the caregiver or the parent.
Right.
And at this time, the child is doing these chores, is not forfeiting or is not living, like, is learning, is not denied the right to go to school,
mm-hmm.
nor to play, because he has to get into this kind of a responsibility. So it's kind of a, there is introduction at the right age of that particular child, something that is not harmful, it's not hurting, or it's not beyond the power that the child can be able to perform.
Mm-hmm. So the responsibilities sometimes get in the way of a child's right to just be a child.
Definitely.
Mm, and you're... So is that the gap? Is that the problem that you're trying to address?
What I'm really trying to address is working with the caregivers in the informal settlements.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we find that children are introduced to this household chores at a very early age.
Right.
And they don't know, like, in our African context, people take... There is also that cultural belief, like, children are not supposed to question an adult.
Yeah.
So sometimes we find, like, we are not free as adults, or adults are not able to tell the children about their rights because they don't want the children to question.
Okay.
And sometimes you find like children are being sent to the shops at very late hours, at when there is darkness, they are all alone, they have no one to escort them on the way. So what I am trying to address is if we can be able to empower the caregivers in the ECD centers with the basic information that they can help the children as early as they are in their childcare centers to know what, when should I say something has happened, bad has happened to me.
Okay.
Like, for example, if I'm sent to the shop and it is at night,
yeah,
and something happens to me or someone runs and gets hold of the child, what am I supposed to do? Rather than just telling the parents, we want also the children to have this as a learning opportunity when they're in the childcare centers to be able to understand, if this happens to me, if my mother does this to me, if the teacher does this to me, these are the things I should be able to report. These are the actions I'm supposed to take as a child.
After sharing about the importance of equipping caregivers with the tools and the knowledge to empower the children to know when their rights are violated and how to speak up, Janet also started discussing the importance of coming down to a children's level. And another way that Kidogo is taking that approach is through their play-based curriculum.
So using the play-based approach, we've been able to encourage our teachers not to use just the academics. Issues like using manipulatives, like wooden blocks, men's cobs, using the very local resourced materials we don't advocate for buying because we know the poverty level of the community we are working with. So if you visit our child care centers, you'll find that we do not have blackboards. Children do not copy from blackboards.
Good.
our teachers initially were like, no, there is no way you can use. Then we thought, try it and see.
Yeah, you're really reimagining.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we've had a very stimulating environment where we help the teachers come up with different learning centers, like dramatic center, and we encourage the parents to bring materials from home. We have the manipulative center, we have the kitchen, we have the quiet area where when the child comes to the child care center, doesn't feel like talking to people, he can just go and relax there until his mood comes back, because we want children to feel like children, they feel their value.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say that initially this was a very tough kind of idea to be bought by the parents. We took like 2 years for the parents to buy.
2 years?
Idea. Like 2 years. The teachers were like, no, this is an American kind of a thing. It's not a Kenyan thing.
Yeah.
So, but now we are glad to say we have had other women who are called the mamapreneurs buying our idea and putting their idea into a 10 by 10 room and practicing the play-based approach. Just using manipulatives, materials through play. And I think in addition to that, we've had an opportunity to develop some learning cards because some of the level of education of some of these women is very low.
Mm-hmm.
They may not be able to read a whole curriculum or through. So
right.
We've come up with the simplified cards, activity cards, which would just give the steps or now the caregiver can be able to take simplified, very simple steps and using an illustration, like a picture of how the caregiver can be seated or can be with the child. And then maybe some extended activities that the caregiver can be able to add to the child. And then some questions like what worked well, what didn't work well. Yes.
It was exciting to hear about the successes that the play-based approach has had and how the mompreneurs have taken it on in their own daycare centers. Janet also shared how ensuring the safety of the caregivers has been a learning process.
So as a learning process, you find that many of the caregivers come to tell me, yes, I have found that the child has been maybe physically abused from home.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm scared. I cannot speak about it because it's going to be a threat to my life. So I prefer keeping quiet and I don't address it. And then I find that the continuity of the abuse still goes on. And at the end of the day, the child is the one who is getting hurt. We are looking forward to introducing a text message with a simplified phone, which does need to be our WhatsApp, a smartphone.
Just
a very simple phone where they can be able to send a text message, and then we'll be able to work on towards having a dashboard where we get the messages. The messages can be anonymous as far as you know the place where it's coming from. For example, if it's Kangemi, which spoke or which childcare center, you say there is a child who is having this, like this. We need immediate assistance. So once I read such a text message, I know there is need for someone to go there. I think one of the biggest challenges we are having to work on is the whistleblowing aspect.
Okay, can you say more on that?
The whistleblowing is like a who tells what and who tells to who.
Yes.
Because most of the time you find people or like somebody who is the one, who the abuser will always be having the question like, who said that? And then these issues of threats. So they will always make the caregiver feel like scared. I don't want to say because that parent is becoming a threat to my life. He may come to my house anytime. So that the parent will never know where the information came from. We are really trying to help the caregivers to avoid like whistleblowing or telling the information direct to another person. Bearing in mind that they're also coming from the same community and the stories may spread and we may also lose the evidence on how we can help this particular child. So particularly right now, I'm the one who is like acting as the designated child protection officer. All information coming to me, then I'm able like to see who to work with. If it is the person, the GBV person, or the village elder, or whom I can be able to consult, and then I take a backseat so that no one also understands where the information came from. But at the end of the day, our paramount goal is to make sure that the child is safe.
Janet shared with me that although she has come up with the idea of this text message-based system to ensure that the caregivers can report abuses without feeling that their safety is compromised, she's still looking for someone with the skills and the capacity to build this system. If you're interested and would like to collaborate, please reach out.
Janet, thank you so much. I think your passion really shows not only in all the work you've done, but just how I think willing you are to make sure that all children really have access to safe spaces and protection. You know, it's not only working with them, but also training mamapreneurs and passing on your knowledge to others. And one last question I have for you is, in 10 years, if you could imagine the future of education, what would you like education to look like, not only for Kenya, but Africa as a whole, maybe the world too?
So I'm imagining, how can our education system put into consideration the practical aspect of investing in these early years, where we are not looking at education, but we are looking at learning.
Mm-hmm.
Where we are not looking at ECDE, we are looking at ECD, care and development. Because when we have development using like the holistic approach, the child is provided holistically by all stakeholders, not under somebody's one person responsibility, we will not have the challenges we are having with our young people at this particular time. Let education not just start when the child reaches 4 years and 5 years to go to school. Let's think about learning. Let's think about involving the caregivers, the parents, and the community. How can they start as early as enough when the children are at home? Mm-hmm. During infants, when the mother is pregnant, when the dad is coming in, stimulation even during the pregnancy level. Stimulation as early as when the child is born. With the local materials that they have, packets of unga, packets of tins that they have, we don't need to buy any materials, but how can we invest as early as empowering our community members, our parents, our stakeholders on how it is important that we will never regret when it comes to primary high school. Mm-hmm. That would be a problem solved many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, when the window of opportunity closes down in these 5 years, we may not have the opportunity to invest in those years.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than coming to regret when it is too late, can education within those 10 years? I'm looking at a system that will start as early as today, as early as during conception, learning but not education, and help our children to have a safe environment where when the child comes to this world, finds a safe environment, then he or she is ready to learn.